Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Duh.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hills, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the Baywatch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Let's get into it, guys.
Always been my place to go for excitement, relaxation, and fun.
All right, so we are jumping into the start of the episode, and right now, basically, we're panning out over all the splendors of Hawaii.
Right, we really are just looking at a really secluded, private, quiet, sacred space.
No big hotels, no crowds of people.
No families on vacation.
And that place is called Waikiki Beach.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a Waikiki Beach.
It's sacred. So from these really beautiful aerial shots of this very uninhabited island, we zoom down closer. We see a little figure on the beach with his thinking cap on.
With his little skull cap, his little bandanners.
And he is, you can tell that he's deep in thought. And as we zoom closer, we realize
it's Mitch.
It's Mitch, guys. This is the beginning of the journey.
But for me right now, it's a place of solitude. Empty beaches. A place where I can be alone. I'm here on a personal search. Something I just realized I had lost. Finding it isn't going to be easy. But it takes some time. Probably some pain, and a little or a lot of heartache. I'll find what I'm looking for. I'll find me.
Oh, he just broke the fourth wall.
Wow. He's looking right at us, you ooh, guys, into ooh, our souls.
Did you hear that little speech? So we're starting a scene of a family coming to the beach, and
this is the beach that Mitch is on while he's starting this journey.
The secluded beach, yes. And they are carrying butterfly nets, the kids. There's two children, a boy and a girl, and they're carrying butterfly nets.
I mean, I guess that's what you catch fish with in the ocean, is butterfly nets?
And
I
just want to be really clear that the waves that they're playing in are not at all from a hurricane. The clips that they're using are full hurricane waves. And the mom seems to be really chill with this. She's got her Hawaiian shirt on. She's her director's chair.
She's literally sitting in a director's chair, you guys. Like, the most comfortable chair to take to the beach. Like, wooden with one sad piece of fabric.
Director's chairs at the beach.
And so she's watching her kids play with the butterfly nets and the hurricane waves. And she seems, like, as relaxed as humanly possible.
And
like,
Mitch,
not an ounce of concern is on her face.
But Mitch is noticing something's wrong. And sure enough, as he's beginning to, his lifeguard senses are
tingling.
He notices, and as soon as that happens, the two kids go under.
Exactly. He senses it before it even starts because it's so innate in him, in his DNA.
So chill mom was chill until she realized her husband went in too, couldn't do it. So now she's like, oh shit, I gotta get up and go in the water.
This is gonna be a problem.
So the whole family of four, the mom, the dad, and the two children are all being swept away in hurricane waves. And I think now Mitch decides to intervene.
He waits until all four, one by one, go into the water.
Which is a little counterintuitive if you're a lifeguard. I mean, you think that he would have walked up to the family prior and been like, hey, it's a hurricane.
Like, you would have wanted to prevent the tragedy rather than watching it unfold and then swooping in at the last minute.
So Mitch is now saving each member one by one, but he's doing it in, like, reverse order.
Right. So it's sort of like a punishment, like, for everybody that he kicks out, he's making the first person who went in watch it and be like, look what you did. First I have to save your mother. Then I have to save your brother. Look what you did.
The two children are the ones to go in first, but he's saving the mother first, then the father. And it's really an intense scene. And I just want to set the picture that we talked about the supreme editing and cinematography, right. And it's cutting back between massive hurricane waves and then kind of like gentle blue,
the most calm
swimming pool water. But
I mean,
you can tell.
Jobs are they're supposed to make these things look seamless, and this editor has gone above and beyond their job description.
I can't even tell; it's two completely different days and clips of
two completely different beaches. No, yeah, it's seamless. It's beautiful.
So Mitch is saving each one, and we're getting a lot. I mean, right now my heart is beating because I don't know if any of you are privy to the Baywatch. You know the actors, the extras, their craft, and you know what it looks like when they're drowning. And
right.
These kids are going above and beyond what an extra should do.
Oh, they are. I mean, I can't imagine having to pretend like you are drowning with a butterfly net and the kind of energy that takes.
Especially being around Mitch would be just like even
so intense.
So in the midst of this hurricane wave, Mitch and the father are having a full casual discussion.
My daughter! Can you swim to shore?
I got to find my daughter!
I'll get her. I can't hit a boat. Tell me you can swim to shore.
Yes!
Do it. Trust me. I'll get her. She'll be all right.
All right.
Go!
Right.
Just kind of talking back and forth.
They're kind of like, do you want to get burgers later? Okay, cool. Do you want to go in and out, or did you want to do Fat Guys? Okay.
I also just saved your wife and your son, so.
Tell your wife I said hi. Send my love. I'm going to go try to find your daughter. Okay, cool. Bye.
Meanwhile, the daughter, who was the first one to go under, is still missing, and Mitch cannot find her
anywhere.
And by now, I'm pretty sure. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm pretty sure you wouldn't. Where is that darn girl? So Mitch is looking everywhere, guys.
With his eyes open underwater in the ocean. This
ocean
is his
eye water.
100% his superpower.
And he's looking, GD, everywhere. Where is this little girl? The tension is building.
You hear the guitar riffs and you're like, something's about to blow.
Oh.
And then.
And there she is. The little girl is.
Like a ray from heaven. Like the clouds have opened and the sun is shining down on this little girl, perfectly positioned in the rocks.
In a lava tube.
Just like a goddess.
Like a goddess, very casually. Oh, she dead. She'd be dead. But we don't know. He's saving her. But I would say, given that it's been probably 20 minutes and after the casual conversation with the dad and saving the family, bitch dead.
And so, Mitch does something really, really special. He's so equipped as a lifeguard. He gives her CPR in the water while they're floating. And I just...
Wow. I don't know if we have any lifeguards out there, but that is a technique that probably only... That's why he's the best of the best. Mitch knows how to do swimming CPR.
I mean, he's doing it on the water in action. He's truly gifted. So He's taken the daughter out. She's the last one to be rescued. The whole family is still on the beach. And in the meantime, like a whole crowd of people have somehow gathered around when there was zero people on this beach to start with. Then only the family and their butterfly nets and their director's chairs. And then all of a sudden, there's just like this crowd of people.
Well, crowd of women with large breasts.
Crowd of women
and puka shell necklaces
that are bent over in their bikini tops, just their breasts encouraging with every with every pump of CPR, just speaking words of encouragement.
Their boobs are just helping it through. So now he's did his water CPR. He was doing CPR, and now we have
on the beach.
CIMT, I believe, come mm-hmm. in. Not the EMT. I think it's called CIMT. They came in and kind of took over.
Also, meanwhile, there's also people in the background that are just swimming, like.
You had to set the scene. There's totally casual people in the background swimming.
Zero distress happening in that water.
So as the CIMTs are taking it away, there is a local lifeguard.
Did you just call a child it? Taking it away?
Taking it away. Get out of the water. A local lifeguard that I have a feeling we're going to see more of later. He's kind of in the midst of the commotion. Mitch, where is he? Where'd he go,
Katie? You guys, he just walks away into the mist like a beach Sasquatch. You see the crowd of people watching him and they're in awe.
Boobs, scared boobs, boobs. Is he going to make it?
Or I should say the crowd of boobs watching him.
Crowds of boobs.
He just walks away. And the lifeguard that we're going to see later and develop a very intense relationship with, he's a local Hawaiian lifeguard. And he's just like, oh, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, I think his reputation precedes him for sure. And I think that guy is like...
Jinx.
Jinx, we were on. Wow, that was a riveting scene.
So we see a scene of what appears to be... a utility shed for sports equipment?
It's definitely
equipment.
A utility shed.
Oh. Well, Mitch comes out the front door with a cup of coffee, so I guess he's living in the utility shed.
He lives in the utility shed
at
the beach.
Cool, Mitch.
Very cool.
Way to start over.
So he clearly has a ton of books on his table, which, by the way, has a wicker basket filled with sand, sea stars, and shells.
And a wicker cowboy hat.
And a wicker cowboy hat.
By
the
way.
To set the mood. But he's got a lot of books open, so clearly he's been really researching something. And... behind him, the local lifeguard that was on the beach earlier who witnessed his act of glory, whose name is Rock, approaches him.
Yeah, so we see Rock kind of come up from the background. There's no formal introduction. There's no, hey, how you doing? It just immediately goes in to this.
So much has happened, Rock. Father passed away. Obi's gone off to college. I hardly talk to him anymore. Mom has Alzheimer's, even though who I am. Still think about my ex-wife. I'm just burned out.
So instantly, without any introduction,
nothing.
As we just heard, Mitch just goes right into bitching about life.
He's like, my dog has rabies.
I have sand crabs.
I live in a utility shed. He's just like...
Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah, just completely... completely bitching to like Rock out of nowhere, which we also learn that the local lifeguard's name is Rock. Just FYI,
Rock.
This is the lifeguard we met on the beach after the miraculous rescue. So, you know, he's just standing by a tree, just bitching his little Mitch heart out.
And it's just, it really, I mean, that's a lot to unload, just regular.
Right, just straight up.
So Mitch and Rock... are having a conversation, and it's basically like Mitch is saying that, like, he's like Katie said earlier, he's kind of having a midlife crisis. Like, we just heard all these things that are awful in his life.
Right.
He just doesn't know what to do.
And he's like, I've lost my confidence. And I'm like, Mitch.
Is
that possible?
Oh, no. So now we learn between the conversation of Mitch and Rock that the little girl that he saved from the lava tube is in intensive care. She is not doing well. And Mitch is beating himself up about it because that's not Mitch's style. No
right.
one dies on Mitch's watch. No one ever goes in the hospital on Mitch's watch.
I made mistakes, Rock. I thought the little girl was caught in a rip current. She was in the lava tube. I spent most of my time looking in the wrong place.
So he's acknowledging that he did not know where to look. Okay, you guys? Now he didn't look... in the lava tubes.
The lava tubes. Oh, you always have to check the lava tubes.
He's such an idiot.
Oh, Mitch. How did you not know? Well, he's used to those California beaches.
They don't have lava tubes.
They don't have lava
they
tubes in California.
They don't have them, you guys.
So, and lava tubes are, I guess, just everywhere in Hawaii. So that is, he's really beating himself up about this. That was rough. So... we switch scenes, and now Mitch is in the hospital of the little girl that he saved, and she is not doing too well, as we established earlier.
Right. So he's beating himself up about this because, you know, she didn't come out of this unscathed. She's very much scathed.
Scathed.
Mm-hmm. And she's on oxygen. She's got all these tubes in the hospital. And he's just hovering over her bed.
Which is really settling. Not unsettling. What's the opposite of unsettling? It's very settling. And he places a necklace in her hand, which I'm sure as a little girl waking up from a coma.
Not creepy at all. Like, what the fuck is this? Who put this in my hand?
Who put this here? Where is, who, what did
she
come from?
She doesn't know Mitch from Adam. Like, she didn't speak to him. They didn't interact. He rescued her. She doesn't know this is his necklace. Why is this person hovering over her? She has no idea, no context. So she's going to wake up with this mysterious necklace just in her hand and be like, I'm sorry, what? Someone... There's also not a parent nearby.
There's no hospital staff or anything.
No doctors, no parents, and just some random creep can come hover over you and leave you gifts in your little baby girl hand. So we're transitioning to a scene on the beach. We're meeting Rock at his lifeguard stand.
Sorry, guys, but there was a scene transition of Mitch swimming very intensely.
Did he just swim to the lifeguard
stand? Which I think implies maybe that he swam from the hospital to the lifeguard stand.
Yeah, it was literally the hospital. Him swimming so intensely, staring straight down the barrel of the camera. And then all of a sudden he's at the lifeguard stand. And I think...
It implies that.
It's very much implying that that's how he gets around Hawaii.
That's just how his... No Uber for Mitch. It's just swim, swim, swim.
He's like, guys, I want some tacos. I'm just going to go swim out and grab some. Okay, cool. I'll be back.
So he approaches Rock and they're having this conversation. And I think this little girl being in the hospital has really affected Mitch, obviously. I mean, he's just really, it's like.
He's torn up, you guys.
He's torn up. And he's saying, like, this was my ignorance. I didn't know the lava tubes, which we talked about earlier. And he's like, how do we prevent this from happening?
How can we save lives if we don't know what the elements are going to bring to us?
And then it kind of hits. He has this idea of getting an elite team of lifeguards from all around the world.
And they can share their, like, he's saying, well, I would have known about the lava tubes if somebody would have just freaking told me about the lava tubes, but nobody shared that information.
Nobody shared. It's like, they're just miscommunication.
So how can we learn to have lifeguards communicate with each other? So that we can create a system of information.
Such a system of information. So I think that's essentially where we're going. And we're going to hear a little clip right now just to kind of set the mood for this, would you call it an epiphany that Mitch has had?
I mean, epiphany is maybe too small of a word. Maybe a seismic universal shift.
You're right. This is where the seismic universal shift happens. So we're going to let you guys in on a little bit of a clip right here and just listen intensely, because this is where we're going to learn what each country could possibly bring to the table.
Guys, it all comes together here, so it's wildly important.
Hey, team Rocked. Team should be trained here, familiar with all kinds of conditions.
We can help you with that. Who else would you involve?
Eventually, every lifeguard in every country in the world bring what they do best. I mean, take LA for example. What do you admire most about LA lifeguards?
Organization.
You guys have put together a great system. What about Hawaii?
We have some great individual watermen.
You guys also know Big Surf, and you've also perfected the jet ski rescues.
I like the Aussies. I'm going to use those rubber boats.
And they're competitive.
Sure, we're bringing edge to training. They hate to lose it anyway.
South Africans are pretty innovative.
Germany and Brazil, they got lots to offer, but I get it too big here. We need one team, a small group of elite individuals.
You know, Mitch, I'd really like to see you make this work. I'll make it work.
So beyond making some just wild generalizations
about certain countries.
We're starting to see his plan come together.
His train of thought. It's his thought process.
Right. And I mean, it feels like maybe just don't include Australia if all you're going to give them is that they're good with rubber boats.
Good with the rubber boats.
Like, maybe just that seems more insulting than just not naming them at all.
Maybe just forget about Australia.
Oh, yeah, like rubber boats. Yeah, they're great with those. It's got tons of skill.
And then he mentions Brazil and Germany being good too, having a lot to offer. Brazil seems relevant, but
Germany feels like maybe it's I don't know. Maybe it's one of those places that spring break. It's
spring break wild.
Super wild in Germany. How do I know?
Side note, my partner is from Germany, and one time we were meeting with his friends, and they were mentioning that when Germans go to beaches, all they do is come, set up, and dig holes. They just dig holes at the beach. They don't get in the water. They come, they dig holes, they fill the holes back up, and then they leave.
We're done.
This is fine for me. And I was dying, and I got it reconfirmed from like three other people in Europe how Germans just come, dig holes, and leave. So they do have a lot to offer.
They have so much practical skills. So many practical skills.
Love Germany.
You got a job? They will do it. They will do it well. They will do it efficiently, and they will get out of your hair.
They like to be that productive.
When we were talking about this last night, Alex was like, it's not just holes. We build forts and fortresses, and we build a little moat around it. And
like I mentioned, Alex is my partner and love him to death, but
he was very clear about how
And we've been to many beaches, and it's true.
You come up with an architectural plan. You come up with blueprints. You execute those blueprints.
And you don't leave it. You take it all down after.
You have to destroy it.
Very efficient. Germans, they know. Anyway, they're very good at
beaches. And then he said that people were like, just relax. And he's like, this is relaxing.
Digging the holes and relaxing is always my favorite.
That's what he needs for like de-stressing.
De-stressing is to
have like
work.
A sandbox.
Anyway, side note. We'll get back to the story now. As you heard from that clip, wild generalizations about different countries. And again, Mitch brings up this fucking girl. He's talking about this girl. Just he could have saved her. He could have seen the lava tubes. And it's getting annoying at this point.
He's so distraught by it. He's like, you know, if I would have just known, I could have done it more efficiently. Ignorance is the reason that people are dying and they're ending up at the hospital. And if we can just talk to each other and nip this ignorance in the bud, then we've got a whole different paradigm of lifeguarding awaiting us.
Ugh, it's like nothing that's ever been done. It's very, very exciting. Transitioning to now we're in LA and San Diego. And we're at kind of like a regular, more boobs, where we're seeing the classic beach scenes. And right. We're at an Olympic swimming pool where we're going to meet two characters that Cadence and I don't – well, I shouldn't speak for Cadence, but myself, I just have a real hard time
with
these characters.
They're the freaking worst.
JD and Jesse O. And they are in a relationship, but needless to say, it is a toxic relationship.
Jesse, concentrate. Just don't stroke. Focus.
Ugh, I am focused.
Now you are. What?
Hate you, JD.
Hate the water that's in front of you. Hate your own mediocrity. Hate losing. But me? You gotta love.
Hey, why do I gotta?
Because, Jesse, my love, I am making you better.
See? That right there. That right there is why I'm not particularly a fan.
It tells you everything you need to know about JD and Jesse.
It's supposed to be this cutesy, like, cat and mouse type relationship,
It's just gaslighting and emotional abuse.
just really.
It's so charming, you guys.
He just is always mansplaining.
He's the cutest, you guys.
JD is your typical, like, white male privilege, like, frat bro. Not 100%. That I have anything problem with that, but that's how he is. And so, yeah, as from that clip, you can tell.
Their relationship dynamic is problematic, to say the least.
So,
he is her trainer as well as her boyfriend. Friend.
Always a great combo.
Super healthy.
We're having – and with this, we're learning that JD is her trainer, and they're training. And they got the news that Mitch has sent them a letter that they are two of the
chosen ones. He probably freaking swam.
He swam a letter.
To Venice Beach.
To Venice Beach. No, this is San Diego.
Oh.
I think.
I saw a sign for Venice, so I just assumed.
Oh, so it might be Venice Beach. And they're very excited because they are like, oh my God, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. Mitch, the Mitch, is asking us to go to Hawaii and be lifeguards.
Right.
And now they're just train mode. Train.
And she's just like, I can't do this because I'm training. And he's like, well, Maui is where the best Ironman competition is. And it's the most famous for its for its, what's the word? Marathons. Oh my gosh. Marathons. And so he, and then because he's emotionally abusive.
And yes. And manipulative.
His last selling point is, well, lots of people honeymoon in Hawaii.
He is a little boob tease. He is just teasing her so hard. And the gaslight, this relationship's all around. I just don't know how long this is going to last.
So, the only reason that she's like, it's the weirdest. Like, he's like, everyone goes on their honeymoons. And she's like, oh, is that a proposal? And he's like, I don't know, is it? And, like, there's never really a direct answer, but somehow she still ends up agreeing to go. It's so bizarre.
Makeout Central after that. Transition to Australia, where we're going to meet one of my personal favorite characters, Allie, the fiery, sassy redhead from Australia.
You know, I love the Aussies. Competitive, confident. Allie Reese, helicopter pilot, and has mastered the techniques of using the inflatable rubber boat for surf rescues. So, I sent her a plane ticket.
So she gets her plane ticket. She gets her envelope from Mitch, you
the
guys.
The invitation.
She's on the beach, literally blowing up a rubber dinghy.
They're so good with
just
boats.
Like right in the middle of blowing up the dinghy, being like, oh, well, what's this? And someone just hands, it's like hand delivered. That's the power of Mitch. The U.S. Postal Service will hand deliver you an envelope on the actual beach. It's made out to Allie Reese at the rubber dinghy. Care of Australia.
Care of Australia. When we were younger, Allie is a gorgeous, beautiful woman.
Okay, she's luminous.
She's luminous. When I was little, 12-year-old me watching this, I used to just think she was so old.
We thought she was such a grandma.
Such a grandma. She's 20 years younger than we are now. But
it does not
just
help that they put her in anytime she's not in a Baywatch ensemble. She's wearing a one-piece flowered bathing suit with a jean jacket.
She just has a more mature look.
Totally.
So Allie was always the grandma of the group.
Bless her
little heart, but she's one of my favorite characters.
She fought through that osteoporosis.
She's really good with rubber dinghies because that's what they used in World War II.
They're gentle because they bounce off her brittle bones.
She's blown up those rubber dinghies in World War II.
That's just how she gets around in general. She has to get around in like the bubble pack.
It's like, what is it?
Wrapped up.
Get around or jitterbug. A little blow up jitterbug.
Scooter.
She's great. We love her. And so she has received
love
her invitation.
Her.
Transitioning to back to Hawaii. We have Mitch and Rock talking on the beach. And I think Mitch is basically saying, I've hand delivered. Well, not hand delivered. I've got someone to hand deliver these to everybody at their places of work. And he's asking,
while they're doing the thing they're most known for.
Well, in the middle of it, they get delivered. And he's saying, Rock, have you ever heard of this guy named Sean Monroe? Important name to remember, guys. Sean Monroe.
And Rock says, nobody knows these waters like Sean Monroe. So then, of course,
cut to a scene. Sean Monroe on a boat, and he is just driving the boat with the most intense look because he is a true, I mean, this guy, he's got leadership written all over, leadership, leadership written all over him.
Leaderships, L-I-T-E-R. So many leaders.
He and a crew are driving to, what are they driving to? A lava tube.
A lava tube, OBS.
And there's people in the lava tube. And this is not just a regular, like, oh, someone's drowning on the beach,
no.
Run in. This is like a mission.
Right. Because they're wearing their lifeguard polos. And that's when you know that they mean business.
And Sean Monroe's lifeguard polo. It's Sean Monroe.
Monroe.
And my question is how did these people that they're saving, they're going to save a group of people, how did they get in this lava tube? There's no
guys, it's
possible
like this
way.
Deep cave, and there's no entrance. There's no boat nearby, like as if maybe they crashed.
There's no beach
it's
nearby.
Bizarre.
They just somehow got into this lava tube cave.
Really deep, isolated lava tube. But and there's a big group of them, too. Yeah, it's not just like one person that wandered in. It was like, hey, guys, let's go check out like
20 of them
deep,
in there.
Dark, pitch black lava tube.
But that's, I mean, that's why Sean Monroe's the best. And we're seeing, this is where we really get to see his prowess. And we get to see why Sean Monroe is such an important character. Because you can see right here, he's saving these people left and right. He's not asking questions. He's doing these great techniques.
They're all wearing life vests, by the way. They're floating pretty peacefully, just bobbing up and down.
Nothing really is dramatic about it.
It's just not in the open water.
Just floating in a cave.
It's not hurricane waves.
Just floating in a cave.
They're just bobbing, little apples.
So I think, and I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but I think Sean Monroe might... He kind of might be the leader of this group, the manager of this little, the Professor X, if you will, of this little lifeguard.
They're definitely community. Using all of their tips and tricks and film secrets to imply that this is the leader that is born.
I love Sean Monroe. Sean Monroe, he's no nonsense. He really has really good training techniques. He really knows how to like... give leadership skills.
He knows also how to get the best performance out of his people.
Yeah.
He's got that way of like really inspiring them.
I always liked Sean Monroe.
So on the way back, like he's just rescued all of these people who've been peacefully bobbing up and down with their life vests without a care in the world. And wouldn't you know it, at that very moment, just like Allie in the midst of her rubber dinghy blowing up, and Jesse and JD in the midst of their training, in the midst of Sean rescuing these guys, of course, the call comes in.
Yep.
And he doesn't get an envelope, guys.
He gets a call.
He gets a freaking straight up call over the, what's it called?
Little intercom, boat intercom thing.
Boat speaker.
And I do want to make a note that Sean Monroe is already in Hawaii, so he knows these waters. I assumed, as listeners, you would have known that from the lava tubes if you've been listening. But I just want to clarify.
Didn't know in that moment of rescue that they existed, and Sean didn't. There was no question. There was no pause. He went straight
for the lava tube. He knew exactly where they were.
So we're making it clear that Mitch has single-handedly chosen him to carry the torch.
We are transitioning from Sean Monroe's heroic rescue to a more somber mode. We are back at the hospital with the little girl. And lo and behold, there's another adult. Finally, her father is there.
She's not just alone wasting away in hospital. But
her father
no healthcare providers.
So Mitch and her father are having a conversation. And we're just going to give you a little tidbit of that so you can kind of feel the energy of this.
Hey. I just came by to tell you that I'm really sorry. I know I promised I'd save her.
You did. She's alive.
She should be home, not in a coma. Have they updated her condition or told you anything?
My favorite thing about this conversation is just Mitch's complete inability to accept that the little girl's alive and that he saved her.
He cannot see the silver lining.
And he's just, it's just like, he's like, I'm so sorry. I should have saved her.
But you did, Mitch.
But she's in a coma.
But she's alive.
But I should have saved her.
I know, but you did.
But her eyes should be open.
They should be, but they will open someday.
She should be playing a ukulele right now.
Mitch, shut the fuck up. Get over it.
So, and then the dad's like, well, I mean, since you're here and you're unable to accept that she's alive, would you like to come in and see her?
And Mitch is like, side note, I was creeping around the other day and I left a little trinket in her hand. Sorry, I already did that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, now's not the time that you want to be like, I've never been in this hotel room before, ever, or this hospital room hotel ever room. Before.
It looks like it's filmed in a hotel
this
room.
This hospital room is totally new to me. I've never seen anything in here. Oh, is this her? Is this her bed? I don't know. Looks new.
Keep in mind, Mitch still doesn't know this little girl's name. We still don't know her
name. By the way, the trinket's still in her hand. It's probably been, I don't know, anywhere between 5 and 7 days. Not one provider or adult has been like, oh, what is this little guy?
Should we take this out? Just rotting away in her hand.
No, it's just sweating. Her little hand's just sweating, holding that little chain, trying to stay alive.
So Mitch doesn't know her name, and he's talking to the father, and the father's like, look, she's alive, and I know that she's going to be awake by her 12th birthday, which is coming up. And on that 12th birthday, I want you to be there.
And we revisit the conversation where Mitch is like, well, she's, this makes me so sad that she's in a coma.
Going through that rigmarole again, another time.
Yeah, and the dad's like, but she's right here. And he's like, but she's not awake. And he's like, can we just cut to the chase, which is when she wakes up, she will have a party and you will be invited.
And then he tells her daughter's name, which I believe is Heine. The most beautiful name.
Which also, I'm sort of just like, how did he visit her before? Like when he came to the hospital, if he didn't, because we're just learning. He's like, by the way, I don't even know her name. And I'm like, who did you ask for when you came to the hospital? Were you just like, oh yeah, that girl, like, you know, she's unconscious and
because he walked away from the scene at the very beginning, so he knows zero details.
Literally
about
has
this.
No excess information. Or he's just wandering around.
Well, there hasn't
giving
been
necklaces to every little girl in every little hospital room he sees.
Such a creep.
The and hospital Santa.
As we've learned, there's no adults around, so he literally could have just walked around and let himself into any room.
Yeah, there's no rules or anything for the. It's just free for all at the hospital, I guess. We transition to the airport. We're seeing lots of planes. Hawaiian Airlines, who are
oh, fancy that.
I guess clearly sponsoring this episode, flying in and out of the airport. And we know that something important is about to happen because the airport is in play. So we are introduced to a character that's getting off of a plane, and we don't know any context. We have no idea where he's from, who he is, how he's going to play
he's
into
a
this plot.
Fish out of water.
Definitely a fish out of water. He's wearing Wranglers and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And
he's just a mystery. Like, who is this person getting off the plane? We need to know.
We've got this little enigma happening, and we're kind of, it adds a little bit of mystery and wonder to the plot so far.
So this person that just got off the plane, this fish out of water, he runs into a familiar face at baggage claim, JD. So it's apparent that JD just flew in from Venice with probably Jesse O. And this is their interaction.
I think this is mine.
It's not.
Look, kid, a lot of bags look alike.
Look, you want to turn it loose?
Do you have a claim check?
No, do you?
Of course I do. It's right here. And it's not mine. Sorry.
No problem.
You're not going to get out of here without a claim check.
Yeah, I will.
So from that, you can tell that this little enigma is just a little sassafras. He's kind of arrogant. He's kind of rash.
He's got a little bit of an attitude.
Got a little bit of an attitude, but kind of like a sexy type of attitude going on.
Right. He's definitely not a dick in like an aggressive way. He's more
like playful. Yeah.
So it's important that you know that he needs to rent a car. And this makes his character a little bit even more mysterious because you're like, well, why do we care that he's renting a car?
Mm-hmm.
So when you rent a car, you do have to give some information, right? Because – and you have to be 25.
At least. And he does not – this person does not like 25.
Not even a little bit. So they ask him, what's your name? He says
– Jason.
She says – Jason what?
Just Jason.
So, that's all you need to rent a car, apparently.
So I guess when you look like Jason, you don't need to have an ID or any sort of documentation.
She just kind of smiles and like, oh, you, and like looks down and here's a car.
Gives a stranger a car. But this is also where it's important to tell you that the character of Jason, of whom we've just learned his name is Jason, is also played by a man named Jason, and not just any Jason,
Jason Momoa. Now, side note, oh, Jason Momoa. Cadence and I were hoas for Momoa.
Freaking since 1999.
Way before the Game of Thrones, the Aquaman, the Conan, like Baywatch Hawaii, Jason. Gorgeous creature. My sexuality was awoke when I saw him on screen. And I remember being like 11, 12, just like, I want to know more about him. Like, where is, what, just tell me about
him. Where'd you get that cowboy hat?
What are your fears? And I mean, he just really made my bird chirp.
What are your hopes and dreams?
So it's important to know that he's just this gorgeous person. And I guess that's why he's able to rent this car so easily, is because she's enamored by his
beauty. Yeah, it feels clear that she's just like, no questions asked. Here you go.
Here you go, just Jason.
And she hooks him up with, he's going to get like a really boring, conventional like van. And his charms, his one name charms, the one name wonder, he gets from that skill, he gets a sweet, sweet Chrysler Sebring convertible.
Red.
So we're still not 100% clear what his part is in all of this, but we do see him standing in front of that Chrysler looking like a tasty little piece. And he's holding a sign that says Baywatch Hawaii. And at that moment, he looks up and he sees Allie Reese,
Australian fiery grandma Allie Reese.
Allie Reese, who knows her way around a dinghy.
Baywatch.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Allie Reese.
I'm in love.
Oh, what was your name?
Jason.
And how old are you, Jason?
19.
That's too young.
I'll get older.
I don't think I can wait that long.
You have to. Sold Crone in Port Arthur, said I'd marry the most beautiful woman in the world.
All right, so we can establish from that little clip that there's kind of this little instant attraction going on with Allie.
We just verified that he's 19.
Oh, he's a little baby.
So he rented a car with, not being 25, no last name.
No insurance,
no
nothing.
Legal documentation.
19-year-old hot
Jason. 19-year-old. Okay. So this sort of sets up what is a recurring theme. Jason is head over heels for Allie.
From first glance.
She makes it clear that she can't wait that long, probably because she's going to die soon.
She's like, I'm already 82.
That's my best guess. Like, I'm on my way out, dude. Like, you got to make the move faster.
And as he's talking to Allie, we see JD and Jesse Owens. So I guess everyone has flown in at the exact same time
from everywhere
at the same time, day, over the world, being just Australia.
Right. It's like they were putting together. This felt very expansive when Mitch was originally talking about it, because he's like, Germany, Brazil, Spain, Japan. And it's like we end up with from Venice Beach, from Galveston, Texas, and from Australia. That's where this elite team came from. Not 100% sure that his goal of worldwide was elite, met, but yeah. we're baby steps.
Jason has now picked up everybody, and him and JD still have a little bit of that like kind of tension going on. And Jason drives everybody back to what looks like these beautiful beach bungalows. And I think it's safe to say that we're establishing this group. And this beach bungalows are probably where everyone's staying. Okay.
And when JD realizes that the Jason that he had his little disagreement at baggage claim is also going to be his new partner on this elite squad, you can see that his face is clearly screaming,
no time for this.
Nope.
Don't want to do it. I'm the hot male around here, but he just got hotter, upperder, mailed.
Yep. Hotter, upperder, hopper, upperder, male.
We're back at the place that Jason dropped everybody off, which apparently is these bungalows. And we see JD, just JD, walking around. So some time has passed after the little airport pickup. And JD is walking shirtless.
Yeah, they must be getting settled. These are their accommodations, like where they live as lifeguards, kind of all together, like a lifeguard frat house type of thing.
And JD walks in on what he thought was his room. And he opens up to a topless woman who stands there for far too long for being topless.
Right. So he imagined just the most comical version of like any sort of movie you've seen where someone's surprised. Like he walks in and it's totally like the coyote eyes where it's like, aah! And she's literally looking down at her own breasts
for a solid five seconds.
Just nothing's happening except for her looking down.
But kind of looking up too with like butterfly eyes, and like, then oh, you like up, what you see?
Yeah, she looks up, he's got his cartoon eyes, and she's just like, oh, these old boobs. these old things?
So he's so flustered, and she basically introduces her character's name, which is Kakoa Tanaka. And we're assuming she's also from Hawaii.
Right. She's we find out for sure, yes, that she is later, because she's definitely more of like the mother of the island.
She's got a very mother Hawaii island, very Moana thing going on. Mm-hmm,
right. And so she just seems super amused that JD is like, habara, 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 habara. She's like, oh, you silly.
By the way, my name's Kakoa.
Right. So he can't even think of what his name is. And she just very casually puts the top off of her bathing suit on and is like, by the way, my name's Kakoa. And he's just completely blown away.
We think maybe he has a little bone for Kakoa.
Oh, 100%.
But it's good because this is where we meet her character. So I think we've met all the characters now. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of come together. I think
that's the complete, very last person you're introduced to.
We've got Jesse O, JD, Jason, Sean Monroe, Allie, and Kakoa. Wonderful group of people. Sean Monroe, again, being the leader of the group.
So they need to get to the beach quickly because they're about to have their first staff meeting.
But it was also just nighttime, which is really weird. Okay, so we have Kakoa on the beach checking a wave rider.
JD just casually, after seeing her breasts, is just jogging towards Jesse. Trying not to look suspicious.
He's looking straight in Kakoa's eyes as he's running. Straight right. in her eyes, not breaking eye contact.
And Jesse's like, where have you been? And he's like, not looking at Kakoa's boobs. Why?
Who's that?
Oh, one of the Hawaiian lifeguards. Name's Kakoa Tanaka.
Kakoa casually picks up a paddle and inspects it. What is this?
Oh, and Jesse's okay. like, JD, paddle. What you looking at, bud? And he's like, nothing. And she's like, well, I mean, she's right. Like, I could reach out and touch her. She's right there. You looking at Kakoa? No.
She's actively listening to us fight about her as she's looking at that paddle very inconspicuously.
I have no idea. I don't even know her name. I mean, it's Kakoa Tanaka, but I don't even know.
She's got an interesting look, huh? She's pretty.
Think so?
Yeah, don't you?
Interesting look.
Jesse's vaguely racist about this.
Interesting look. That is not the nice. That's a very backhanded kind of.
I'm a super compliment. Cool girl. Like, she's good looking, whatever. She's like an ugly bitch, but whatever. I think she's cute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got an interesting look.
JD, it's okay to think that other girls are pretty. It's when you act like they're not that I get concerned.
Jesse, what are we going to argue about this? I mean, she's a pretty girl. She's a knockout. She's missed all everything, okay?
He's so defensive, you guys. It's classic. Well, straight guy got stuck in a, well, you caught me.
Ooh. He tries to gaslight her so hard. You're the one in love with Kakoa. You're the one that's looking at her. I just saw you look at her boobs. You're looking at her.
He's so
come on. Get out of here.
I like ending conversations by just putting your arm around the neck and pulling you away. That always ends anytime I'm fighting with Alex.
Just like a really smooth, casual, loving motion.
She's like, ow, you're hurting my neck. Okay, now we have another scene cut, and we're at a different beach, and it looks to be a beach that Jason Momoa and Allie are on, and they are also looking under that hood.
It turns out that being a lifeguard in Hawaii requires you to know a ton about fixing wave riders, apparently. Yeah,
you gotta take those motors apart.
So, in the foreground, we see a new native character speaking to Sean, and Jason's in the background just as looking as... He must be thinking he looks super casual, but in reality, he's just
staring
at them the whole time.
Staring right at them.
So the native lifeguard walks to Jason, and Jason's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't even looking at you. And they become embroiled in this tension.
Say, cuz. The name's Jason, and I ain't Hapa anything.
Jason, I'm Kai Colburn. And Hapa is not an insult. It means half or part. Almost everyone in Hawaii is Hapa.
That's you. Me? I'm me. One thing, one piece, one person.
Jason Momoa, 2020.
2020 president. Did you hear that speech?
One piece, one person.
One me. That is good. And I just realized that he's from Texas. I was so enraptured in
the cowboy
in
hat
beauty.
Was indicative of that.
I thought he was just being a sassy Hawaiian guy. I was so enraptured by his beauty, I didn't even know that he was from Galveston. Which
really exotic.
Really exotic. And the waves there are, whew,
you don't even know.
Lifeguard.
So he got obviously recruited from Galveston, even though they weren't on the list.
Texans.
Made by Mitch. Clearly, they're dealing with beach problems.
So Mitch is, I guess, he's handing off the torch, if you will, to Sean Monroe, who we predicted would probably be
take the leader role. Right.
So it's, he's, you know, I'm putting you in good hands. So now we got to see what Sean can do.
Mm-hmm. He's just sort of like the overarching watchful eye. Sort of the god figure.
Yeah, Hoff is the god figure in this, Mitch.
So Sean starts this meeting about half a mile down the beach.
He's yelling down the beach just to random people.
I'm Sean. And then they're all like, Judy's here. Something on wind.
So we have everybody together. And I think this is where Sean really is going to show his prowess as a leader. He's giving a motivational yet kind of scared, like trying to frighten them. But super also intimidating. Intimidating. That's the word I'm looking
frighten
for.
Frighten and enlighten.
Ready.
She's ready. Girl, she's been through two world wars.
She took her calcium, her ginkgo biloba, her muscles are feeling good. The osteoporosis, the flare.
Not today, devil.
Not today. Not today, Satan. Allie is pale as can be. Beautiful skin.
So beautiful.
Beautiful.
Porcelain skin.
Porcelain skin in Hawaii.
It feels like an accident. It feels like skin cancer waiting to happen.
Skin cancer waiting to happen on her old,
aww,
very tight skin.
On her very young, supple skin.
On her very young, supple skin.
That's where we learn what the drop zone is.
When you get caught in the drop zone, and you will get caught in the drop zone.
And you will get caught in the drop zone.
It's going to feel like a three-story building drops right on your head.
Dropping. Drop
zone. Three-story building. That just doesn't make any... I don't understand. Like, is it a big building? A small building made of straw? Just a three-story building. Okay.
Elite team. Since every team has a weak link, I'm going to do us all a favor. I'm going to find the weak link, and I'm going to send them home. Now, if you know that you're the weak link, you can do me a favor. Quit now.
They all side-eye Allie so hard. They're like, this lady.
Side-eyeing Allie, looking at her so hard.
I mean, you're talking about her, right? Like, this is, we're all in agreement, right?
Does she know where we are right now?
And Allie's like, my hearing aid's not even turned on, so I don't even know.
I'll get you, Shanice. I'll show you how to lifeguard. World War II.
She's like, I gotta go get my grandkids. Bye.
Oh, was that a little over the top? I think you got their attention. You gonna come along?
No, I got someone I gotta see.
Back.
Keep up the good work.
Supposed to hand off the
door. Right, it did feel very much like that was the end, but Mitch is like,
one more thing.
Gonna pop, just pop in real quick. Hey, did you take care of this? Okay, bye.
Into a beautiful beach sunset, and we have Mitch.
Table at what we can only guess is the Hilton Hawaiian Village due to the sign placement.
The weirdest sign, you guys. Just framed right,
hey, Mitch, right in the center of the screen.
I'm here to see you.
Guys, it's the little girl.
Wow. It's so nice to finally meet you.
This is for you.
Hi.
So her mom hasn't accompanied her. Her father has not accompanied her. The random lifeguard has accompanied her.
Feathers. Those are for royalty. A medallion, huh? It's beautiful. Thank you.
My mother made it for saving us. She said to tell you, each feather lei is unique. There is none like it. It is as special and unique as you are.
Well, Hina, I'm not that special. Just a lifeguard doing his job.
She's giving him some special flower he is special and unique.
Right. But he tries to downplay it because he's just like, I'm just a lifeguard.
He's so humble.
This is just like my job.
Like, I'm just a doctor. I save lives. You know, I'm a lifeguard.
To tell you that as long as you have this lei, your soul will be in our keeping. Mahalo.
Whole time saying, my mom told you this. My mom wants you to say this. My mom says this.
Yeah, get your parents over here yourself. Tell them to say thank you. God.
Oh, don't forget my birthday party. You promised to come.
I promise. I'll be there.
This part does not age well.
Oh, no.
Mitch kisses his finger, then transfers that kissed finger to the little girl's mouth. The little girl who's like nine.
That was cringy AF, you guys.
So gross.
That gave me a creepy feeling.
So even gross.
As an adult, I would not want someone to kiss their finger and then stick it on my lips.
Nope.
No. Nope. Get out of my personal space.
It sounds something like such a douche would do, thinking that they were so charming.
They would. Ugh.
Hey, you.
Hey. Little finger in your mouth.
Well, thanked in a lot of ways by a lot of people. No one's ever promised to keep my soul.
Okay, so I think we are saying goodbye to Hawaii.
This is, yeah, this is like the third time's a charm situation.
He's pondering. We got some good camera angles.
We've come full circle because he's now looking at the camera. Instead of being self-defeated, he is now victorious. Fulfill his purpose. Oh. The introspection has happened. Oh. His life's goal is now in process of being fulfilled. The girl survives, which gives us two victories. We have both the elite squad and the girl survives.
Yeah, the squad that came together. And I think that was pretty much a good recap of the episode. And we're also learning about all these elite personalities. We're seeing a lot of personality clashes as well as personality get-alongs.
That's the official terminology.
And it just was, it's good. I'm excited to see what happens next. I don't think we've met all the characters.
No. You might think that your heart has expanded two sizes today, but
my little Grinch heart did.
Make a little more room because we have more people that are going to join in the fun and we're all going to learn and grow together. So we're going to send you on your way today. Just remember that you may at times feel defeated.
Defeated, like Mitch did.
In the metaphor of life, you will end up on your own isolated beach in a hurricane.
Yes. On Waikiki. Yes.
Just stay steadfast. Look right into that camera.
Break that fourth wall of your life.
Break the fourth wall of your life. And say, where's my elite squad? Oh, that's right. It's in me.
It's in me. My elite squad is right here in your heart. So thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and I am looking forward to hearing back from you next week. You hearing back from us? You know.
We'll call you. Leave a message. You call us.
I'm nervous. Okay.
Just get it. We just play phone tag.